We're going to look at the Word of God this morning in John chapter 16, and going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit. And I know that's a very common theme sometimes for a sermon, but I want us to see a couple of things in this. Age in which we're living, there's a lot of Christians going around and feeling that, I was talking to somebody recently, by email actually, somebody contacted us for prayer, and they talked about somebody that was afraid to read the Bible. They were feeling condemned all the time when they read the Bible, and they were feeling that the Holy Spirit was always condemning them, and that's not the work of the Holy Spirit in the day and age in which we're living, for the Holy Spirit to convince or convict or whatever the case might be, or condemn the Christian. We're going to look at some scriptures this morning to look at that and see what the Word of God says. So John chapter 16, verses 7 down to 11. And we're going to look at some other verses as we go through, but find it in your own Bible. And as I keep telling you, don't be afraid to mark your Bible and keep notes and everything else so you know what's going on, and you can refer back to it some other time. So Jesus was talking to his disciples. Now, if you go to John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, these are all chapters all tied together, really. They're broken up chapters in the scriptures, but they're all happening the same night, when Jesus, the night in which Jesus was betrayed and things that were going on. It finishes up with John chapter 17, where Jesus had what we call a great high priestly prayer, where Jesus prayed for his disciples and those that are going to be left in the world, and those that would get saved through their ministry and different things in John chapter 17. But back in John chapter 16, Jesus had just finished, well, for a couple chapters now, just finished telling his disciples that he's about to leave them. And he kept saying to them, I'm going to leave. In a few days, he said, you're going to be sorrowful. But he said, don't worry. He said, in a few days, your sorrow is going to turn to joy. And the disciples looked at him and said, what's he talking about? If you read down through it, they look at each other and they say, what's he talking about? In a few days, he's going to leave. In a few days, we're going to be sad. In a few days, he's going to be back. You know, what does all this mean? And so Jesus then starts to explain to him a little clearer what's going on. And so we're going to look at just one aspect of it here today, because obviously we wouldn't have time to go through all of it. But if you read, now we're going into verse 12, 11. If you read from 12 on, it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. But anyway, let's look at this here, or the life of the believer. But right here, we're looking at what the Holy Spirit does concerning the world. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. And it's interesting that I was reading one of the commentaries, and they said, it's interesting that Jesus said this a few times in the scriptures, verily, verily, as King James says, verily, verily, some translations, the newer ones says, assuredly, assuredly, or truly, truly. Now, the Greek language and the Hebrew language, both of them, sometimes when they would try, and this is what the scriptures were written in originally, sometimes when they would try to make a point and stress a point, they would say it twice. They would say, you know, like, you know, to really get the point across, they would say the thing twice, or say, now, listen up, what I'm about to tell you is true. Now, Jesus, everything Jesus said was true. We know that. The Bible says in him was no deceit, there was no lies, there was, you know, no wrong in him. The Bible says God cannot lie. So he wasn't lying the other times, but he's saying here, listen up, he said, because what I'm about to tell you is very important. This is going to help you. And he kept telling me this. If you read down through the chapter, he said, I'm telling you these things while I'm with you so that when it happens, you won't be caught off guard. So you'll know what's happening. So this is what he's saying. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. King James says, it is expedient that I go away. It's to your advantage. Now, they couldn't understand that. Jesus was everything that they hoped for, and a leader and everything else. He was here with them, and now he tells them he's going to leave them. And, you know, they're thinking, where's that going to leave us? But Jesus said, don't worry about it. He said, it's to your advantage that I go away. And then he explains why. He said, for if I do not go away, he said, the helper will not come to you, or the counselor, or the comforter, the King James says, the Holy Spirit. The helper will not come to you. He said, if I stay here on the earth, the Holy Spirit can't come. If I go, the Holy Spirit will come. Now, some people say, why was that? Why couldn't the Holy Spirit come before Jesus went back into heaven? Well, I think probably the greatest explanation of it is that the work of Jesus wasn't yet complete. The Holy Spirit was sent to the work that Jesus did to make that real to the church, to what's the right word? to make it come alive in the church, but it couldn't happen until Jesus had finished his work on the earth first. So this is what the Holy Spirit was for. So Jesus said, he can't come, he said, until I go away. He said, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So again, we have the Holy or Jesus about to leave and about to send the Holy Spirit. Now let's move on. Verse 8. And when he has come, when the Holy Spirit has come, now notice what it says here. He will convict the world. Now get that? You notice there, he says he's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. But notice what he's saying, he's going to convict the world. He's not convicting the church. The Holy Spirit is in the church. And he, through the church, he's convicting the world. But his work, his duty, his responsibility is not to convict the Christian. His work is to convict the world. Okay, now keep that in mind. So he's going to convict the world, he said, of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So these three things the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of. Okay, now not the church, but the world. Now let's move on. Then he explains, because people say, well, now, you know, and if you ask people their opinion, they have all kinds of opinion on that. But it's good that Jesus took the next three verses here and explained each one of these things, what he's talking about. He said, first of all, of sin. Now, when he's talking about sin here, he's talking about one specific sin. And this is what he says here, of sin, he said, because they do not believe in me. Now, notice that word there, believe. Over and over throughout the scriptures, especially in the New Covenant, we're living in the New Testament today. We're living in a New Covenant. We keep saying this so many times that in the New Testament, we as believers, we should live and speak New Testament terminology. You know, so many times we try to tie in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant together, and you get nothing but frustration. And a lot of people have tried to serve God over the years, and what they've done, they've gotten saved by grace, and then they try to live by a set of rules. And if, as long as you try to live by a set of rules, you're putting yourself right back under the law again. And we talked about this last week. Paul said, don't you understand what the law is all about? If you start living in that, you got to stay there. He said, the law is not of faith, and the faith is not of the law. So he says, these are two opposite things. So he says, if you're trying to make it by the law, he says, you're going to fail every time. There's none righteous, no, not one, by trying to do it by your own good works and willpower or anything else. You just cannot do it. The only way to please God is to be in Christ. Now, so he says, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin, and then the sin that he's going to convict them of is because they do not believe in Jesus. Now, let me explain something. Some people say, well, you know, I think the Holy Spirit convicts the church of sin. No, he said the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin, and the sin that he's going to convict them of is that they don't believe in Jesus. The church believes in Jesus. Anybody understand that? You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe in Jesus. The church believes in Jesus, but the world does not believe in Jesus. They might believe that he's a historical figure. They might believe that he's the Son of God to a certain extent, but they don't believe in him enough to put their trust in him. And this is what Jesus is talking about. So he says, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. Now, not believing in Jesus, or not believing that Jesus is who the Holy Spirit says he is. Remember when Jesus cast out devils? They came up and they said, you're doing this by the prince of devils. And this is when Jesus said to him, he said, listen, be careful what you're doing there. Now, I'm just paraphrasing. But he said, be careful what you're doing. He said, all sin will be forgiven. He said, except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was revealing who Jesus was, the Son of God that had authority over demons and had authority over the winds and the waves and the storms and sickness and disease and death itself. The Holy Spirit was revealing Jesus as that, and they kept saying, no, he's a devil. He's a devil. He's got the prince of Beelzebub and all these different things. And Jesus said, be very careful. When you don't understand who Jesus is, when you start, you know, now Paul, the apostle, Paul went around and he started killing the Christians. Before he got saved, he started killing Christians, dragging them into prison. You know the story about the Apostle Paul before he got saved when he's called Saul of Tarsus. And he started dragging them into prison. But Paul said a little later on, he said, I received mercy because he thought Jesus was an imposter. He said, I received mercy, he said, because I did it ignorantly. He didn't know the difference. Now, there's a lot of people out there that are afraid that they've committed the unpardonable sin and all these other things, and a lot of times they're doing something in ignorance. But the people that Jesus were talking to, these were the religious leaders of the day. These were the people that knew the difference. And they kept saying that Jesus, no, he's not the Son of God, he's got a devil. And Jesus said, listen, you're on very dangerous ground there. When you're not accepting what the Holy Spirit is revealing about Jesus, they're blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. So he said, I've sinned because they do not believe in me. John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, you know this passage. Everybody knows this one. This is one probably you learned first, you know, the first thing you ever learned. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, and here's that word again, believe. All through the Old, through the New Testament, you'll see this over and over and over. All we have to do today is believe. If you believe right, you'll live right. If you believe right, you'll put your trust in Christ. If you believe right, you know that the law can't do it anymore. You know it has got to be by grace. So you have to believe. So here Jesus is saying, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, or whosoever, the King James is, whoever believes in him. And notice that word, believe, because that keeps coming up over and over. Jesus said, that's the word, that's the thing that's going to, the Holy Spirit is going to judge the world with. He said, is that they do not believe in me. So this word, believe, is very important in God's eyes. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now notice this. A lot of churches, and I'm not here knocking churches this morning because we're a church ourselves, but a lot of times over the years, and we grew up in churches like this ourselves, all was preached over the pulpit sometimes was just condemning us all the time, not realizing the price that Jesus paid to redeem us, but just condemning people constantly. And this is what Jesus is saying. He said, God did not send me into the world, he said, to condemn the world. He said, but that the world through him or through Jesus might be saved. That's the reason Jesus came into the world. He never came to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Remember the woman taken in adultery. I mean, Jesus had every right in the world to condemn her. He was the only one that was righteous. He was the only one that could cast a stone. And he looked at her, he said, I don't condemn you. So we need to keep that in mind sometimes when people are going through struggles in their life and going through battles and things that they don't understand and they're messed up their lives. And you don't know their backgrounds. You don't know what they came through. It's easy for you to point a finger and say, oh, I'd never do that, and I wouldn't allow that. But you don't know what they've gone through as a child. You don't know all the details. And this is what Jesus said. I never came to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Then Jesus goes on. He says, he who believes in him, he's talking about God's sending his Son, referring to himself. He said, he who believes in him is not condemned. If you believe in Jesus, you're not condemned. He said, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Some people say, well, you know, we'll wait until the judgment day and see how it all balances out. I've been a pretty good life. You know, I've lived a good life. I've been good and I've been faithful. I've done this and I've done that and I haven't caused too many problems and I've been good to my neighbors and I've helped out the poor and I've sent money, you know, to help people and things. You know, and sometimes we think this is the thing that saves us. This is the thing that, you know, now. But he said, if you don't believe and don't put your trust in Jesus, is what he's saying. If you don't believe in him, you're condemned already. You don't have to wait until the judgment day to see if you're going to be condemned. You're condemned already. That's something, you know, we need to understand. If you don't believe, you're condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now notice this again, that word believe. Look, well, here we go again. This machine gets crazy on us sometimes. Here we go. Okay, so he said, he who believes in him, if you don't believe, you're condemned, and because you do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, notice what he's saying here. That word believe is so important. In the New Covenant, believe is so very important. John chapter 1, verse 10 and 13. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world did not know him. He came unto his own. And his own, now notice this, did not receive him. He came to the Jewish people that had been preaching about him for years. They've been going through all kinds of ceremonies in the tabernacle that pointed to Jesus. But when he came on the scene, they didn't have a clue who he was. It just went over their heads. They absolutely missed who he was. He came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. See, this again, this is this believing part. They did not believe him, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now notice this again, as many as received him, to those that believe in his name. Okay, so again, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of sin, And the sin they're going to be convicted of is not how many bottles of beer they've drunk, and how many cigarettes or drugs or anything else. You know, I'm not saying these things are good. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But that's not what you're going to be judged for. The thing that you're going to be judged for is if you knew Jesus or not. If you knew Jesus or not. See, get off on a different track here, but still in the same thing. Once you know Jesus, all the sins that you committed are paid for by him. That's the beauty of the gospel. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have had no sin. But now, he said, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, he said, they would have had no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. They don't believe in him. Okay, so that was the sin of not believing in Jesus. So he said, first of all, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of not believing in Jesus. And then he says, of righteousness. Man, I can tell you, I mean, I can talk fast, but I can't go so fast as that. Okay, of righteousness. Because I go to my Father. Now, whose righteousness is he talking about here? Is he talking about the believer's righteousness? Well, no, he's talking about referring something to the world. The Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of this. To convict the world of righteousness. Is it man's self-righteousness? It can't be man's self-righteousness. You know, honest is done, you know, just to show them how far off they are. But it's not man's self-righteousness that he's going to convict the world of. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 here, he said, all we like sheep, okay, this is 53, then. Okay, 64 and 6. He said, but we all like an unclean thing. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. All of our righteousness is like filthy rags in God's sight. So whose righteousness is he talking about? It's Jesus' righteousness. Now notice what he says here, because if you go up in the verse here again, he said, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Now, the fact that he has gone to the Father is proof that the world was wrong about him. Now you understand something here. The world accused him of being an imposter. They accused him of blasphemy. They accused him of having a demon. They've accused him, you know, of not being the Son of God. And they have all these things against him. But the fact that he's gone to be with the Father is proof that God accepted him. So he said, the fact that he's there, his righteousness, he would not be before the Father if he wasn't righteous. You see, Jesus never had to go and ask God the Father to have mercy on him before he came home to heaven. Jesus never had any sin. He was absolutely righteous, absolutely pure. In him, the Bible says there was no sin. He was totally 100% God. And he had no sin to repent of. So here it says, the world accused him of being an imposter, a fraud, a blasphemy, that he had a demon. But God has highly exalted him at his own right hand. Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this way, he said, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now you got to understand, he's talking here to Jewish people, to the Philippians here, but to the Jewish people, this is what Jesus is saying. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world of righteousness, that I've been righteous here amongst you. Now, I mean, here's the sad part of human nature, I guess. Here's God himself that came down amongst us, did nothing, absolutely nothing but good. Healed the sick, fed the multitudes, raised the dead, unstopped deaf ears, blind eyes, all these different things. Deaf and mute were speaking and hearing, and you know, he healed the cripple. Jesus did nothing but good constantly, but the world thought he had a devil. Can you imagine that? You know, how twisted their minds were. And you would say, well, if I was back there, I wouldn't have done that. Well, I don't know. Even today, the world cannot understand Jesus. The world still hates Jesus. You can talk about God. You can talk about any other God of any other religion. But the minute you mention Jesus, there's something about it. Jesus said, you'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I've told you before, the world is not anti-God. It's anti-Christ. It's against Jesus. Now, but he says, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Now notice this, of things in heaven, things on the earth where we're at, and things under the earth. This is the underworld where demon spirits are. One day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, there's a lot of religions in the world today. There's a lot of people that will not acknowledge Jesus to be the Son of God, will not acknowledge him as being Lord. But the day will come when they will acknowledge him. You know, not probably wanting to, but they'll have to admit that he truly was the Son of God. Acts chapter 2. Now this is Peter on the day of Pentecost after, you know, these people were saved and different things. And Peter stood up and started to preach this. They're after the Holy Ghost supported. Peter stood up and started to preach this. And again, he was driving home the righteousness of Jesus to the world. And this is what he said. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God. Remember, they thought he had a demon. They thought he was an imposter. They thought, you know, he was doing a prince of Beelzebub and all these different things. He said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as you yourselves also know. So Peter, remember the Holy Spirit said, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit came, he's going to reveal Jesus. He's going to reveal righteousness. Reveal Jesus' righteousness. And this is what was happening here in this message that Peter, this is what they say, the first sermon in the New Covenant. And Peter drove home the fact that Jesus was righteous. He said, he was approved by God. He did all these miracles. You know that. He said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He said, this righteous Jesus that you thought had a demon, he said, you took him and you crucified him, you killed him. He said, but God has raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Then in verse 32, he said, this Jesus God has raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. The fact that he's raised up, this is why Jesus said up there, he said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. The fact that he's gone to be with the Father and we see him no more on the earth is fact, proof positive that he truly was the Son of God. He was the one that was righteous. This Jesus is God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. This is when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and everybody was speaking in tongues and prophesying, and everybody came up and said, what's going on? And Peter said, this is what's going on. He said, this same Jesus, the fellow that you thought was an imposter, he said, God raised him, and he said, he went to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And this is what you're seeing right now. He said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's revealing the righteousness of Jesus. Paul says here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power. And notice this, according to the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit is revealing who Jesus is. He's revealing his righteousness to the world. He said, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. No other world religion has had their founder come back from the dead. Jesus is the only one that has ever rose from the dead. Peter said to him one time, when everybody started leaving, and Jesus turned to his disciples, said, you fellows going to leave as well? And Peter said, where else can we go? Who else has got the words of life, of eternal life? No one else has got it. No one else has conquered death, only Jesus. And so this is what the Holy Spirit is driving home here. God has proven that Jesus is the Son of God because he came back from the dead. The world cannot hate you, Jesus said, but it hates me. Now notice it, because I testify of it. Jesus said, my life is a testimony against the world. This is why they hated him so much. He was so righteous and so pure, but they weren't. And they hated him for that. And he said, I testify to it. He said, that his works are evil. And this is the condemnation, that light was come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now notice this, light has come. But men loved darkness. This is why they hated Jesus so much. This is why even today the world still hates the church. It still hates the gospel, still hates reading the Bible, still hates anything that's got to do. You look at Hollywood. Every time they put on something about a church or something, he's always put in a negative sense. Every time you talk about a Christian, you know, he's somebody out there on a deep end somewhere. He's gone crazy. You know, they never give a true picture. Jesus said, the world hates me. And he said, because they hate me, they'll hate you also. And we see this happening more and more in the world. So he said, light has come, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is why they hated Jesus. Okay, lastly, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to convict them of judgment. I'm going to convict the world of judgment. And then he goes on to explain why. He said, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 30, this is just before he was getting ready to be crucified. He said, hereafter, or in other words, from now on, he said, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and goeth so fast. He said, the prince of this world cometh. And then he says, he has nothing in me. So he's saying, now the prince of the world, he's talking about is Satan. He said, from now on, this is just before he's crucified, he said, from now on, he said, I won't say much to you because he said, the prince of this world is coming. Now, Satan was working, as you know, and you can understand this, when Jesus, just before he was being crucified there, the devil was working overtime. The religious leaders were against Jesus. The politicians were against Jesus. The people were starting to turn against him. Everybody started crying out, crucify him, crucify him. The devil was just rounding everything up to try to have Jesus crucified and done away with. He figured if he could put Jesus out of this, if he can get rid of Jesus, he would win the battle. The devil didn't realize that his greatest defeat was just around the corner. But he figured that if he can get Jesus, he can stop God's plan. So Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming. He said, but he's got nothing in me. In other words, he's got no power over me. Now notice what's going on here. John chapter 12 and 31. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. Now notice this. He said, now, when Jesus hung on the cross, this is when the world was being judged. Now you got to understand that. This is when this judgment was going on. Jesus said, now is the judgment of this world. And then he says, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Up to this time, the devil held control over everything. And he said, from now on, he said, the devil's power is going to be broken. From now on, he said, the devil's power is going to be cast out. Now, let me go on and explain this. Another passage. Okay, the cross and the resurrection has defeated Satan. Right there where he says, because the ruler of this world is judged, there in verse 11, actually means he stands condemned. And in the Greek, there's a long list of ways to describe this, but what it basically means, he's condemned, and from now on, he's condemned forever. He'll never get back to what he had. His power is broken. Now, the devil still, how can I say this? He can still have power over you if you don't know the truth. Jesus, the truth, will set you free. If you don't know the truth that he has been defeated back there 2,000 years ago, you still think he's got power over you today. And you still think that he's going to, you know, destroy you. You still, and he comes out, the Bible says he comes like a roaring lion to try to frighten you. But you need to understand that Jesus said, from now on, he said, his power is broken. And this is what he's saying. So it says that he stands condemned. Satan was condemned at Calvary and is at, it is a continual, ever active condemnation. Satan was condemned back there, and he's condemned right on down. Now, there's another day coming when Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire, and that's in the future, the Bible talks about. Colossians chapter 2, Paul talks about the very same thing. Talking about Jesus, he said he spoiled principalities and powers. These are demon spirits in the spirit world. He has made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In the cross of Calvary, when Jesus died on the cross, went down into hell, came back, and Jesus himself talked about it. He said, I got the keys of hell and death. And he came back, and when he came back, he triumphed over the devil. He took the authority from the devil. There's a couple more verses I want you to just get here. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus also himself, likewise took part of the same. He came down and became one of us. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. When Jesus hung on the cross and died for our sins, he destroyed the devil's power. Okay, he took the devil's authority away from him. Now, one more here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. He took them from Satan. So he said, Jesus said, listen, he said, I won't speak much with you. This is just before he went to the cross. He said, from now on, he said, I won't speak much with you. He said, but know this. He said, the prince of this world is coming. He's coming. He thinks he got me. He said, but he's got nothing over me. That's what he's saying. And he said, he's coming, and he said, from now on, he's going to be cast out. He said, this is going to be his judgment. And this is what the Holy Spirit is convicting. He said, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, this is Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He took the power from Satan. Now, let's move on. There is a final day of judgment coming. And those who are on the devil's side will be judged just like he has been judged. The Bible talks about the book of Revelation, chapter 19. We don't have time to get into it right now. The great white throne judgment. And he said, whoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet and Satan has already been cast. So all these different things are going to be cast into the lake of fire. So here we see all these things wrapping up. So he said, when the Holy Spirit comes into the world, this is the work of the Holy Spirit today. Okay? The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. And remember, he convicts the world, not the church. He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When you came to the Lord, this is how it started out. Somewhere along the line, all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm a sinner. You know, I don't stand a chance. That's where your lack of righteousness shows up. I don't stand a chance. I mean, I can't do anything that would ever get me into God's presence. And if I don't do something, man, there's a judgment ahead for me. That's the three things that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. But I just want to wrap it up with this, with a bit of a good note for the church. What is the work of the Holy Spirit to the church? Using those three same topics. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. What is the Holy Spirit's word to the church concerning these? And we get this from the scriptures. First of all, concerning sin. What about your sin today? Where is your sin? It's covered. It's more than covered. It's covered, but it's gone. It's washed away, right? The Bible says he cast our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west. He never said the north and the south. I mean, you can measure that. But you can't measure the east and the west. I mean, you know, if he said as far as the north is from the south, you know, there's, I think it's something like 15,000 miles or something like that. You know, you could measure that. But as far as the east is from the west, there's no way to measure that. He said, that's how far he's removed your sins from you. He said, your sins and your iniquities, he said, I will remember no more. So as believers, our sins are washed away. Now notice what he says here. Our sins have been laid upon Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and I don't have time to put all the scripture up there again now, but Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, he said, when he had purged our sins. You know what it's like to have something purged? That's what Jesus did to your sins. If you have accepted Jesus and believed, remember we just talked about the sin of not believing in Jesus? If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, put your trust in him, your sins have been washed away. You'll never have to answer for them again. Jesus already answered for you. You understand it? Jesus already took the price for you, the punishment. So he said he purged our sins. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, he said he was manifested to take away our sins. That's why Jesus came into the world. This is why Jesus said, he said, Satan is coming. He thinks he's got something. He said, but he's got nothing over me. What Satan is doing, he said, is going to be the greatest triumph for Jesus and the greatest defeat for Satan. Because in what he did, Jesus took all the sins that Satan was holding over the people, and Jesus washed them away. So there was no more guilt, no more that the devil could do with them. Okay, concerning righteousness. Well, we know man's righteousness, all our righteousness, what we try to do, is filthy rags. We talked about last week, there's a righteousness now in the new covenant that's apart or without the law. You don't need the law to be righteous anymore. Remember we talked about it last week in John chapter Romans chapter 10. Righteousness without the law. Romans 5:17 says it this way. He said, we reign in life. He said, those who have the abundance of grace. This is what we're living in today. The abundance of grace. And then he says, and the gift of righteousness. I can't do anything myself. My righteousness is filthy in God's sight. I don't care. Listen, you can go to church every day of your life. You can read your Bible 2 chapters a day. You can pray 2 hours a day. It's not going to make you any more righteous than what you've been made righteous when you gave your heart to Jesus. It's his righteousness, not yours, that gets you into heaven. And he gave it to you as a gift. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not a single one. After 1,500 and some odd years, almost 1,600 years of trying to keep the Ten Commandments, trying to go through all the rituals and ceremonies, trying all this, there's none righteous, not a single one. But he said, now there's a righteousness without the law. That righteousness, he said, is in Christ. And this other verse tells us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He said, he became sin. In other words, he became the sin offering. He took all my sin so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. Okay, so your righteousness is not your righteousness anymore. Your righteousness really belongs to him. And you can't do anything to make that any better than it is. His righteousness is absolutely perfect. Okay, so our righteousness is in Christ. We stand on his righteousness. Concerning judgment, notice what the Bible says. We shall not come into condemnation. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus said, he that believes in me, he will not come into condemnation. Isn't that good news? You believe in Jesus, you're not going to go through a judgment. Now, there's a judgment seat of Christ where you receive your rewards, but regardless of your sins being judged, it's already been taken care of. He said, he that believes in me will not come into condemnation. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, he said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's the good news. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin, their lack of righteousness and the righteousness of Jesus, and he's convicting them that there's a judgment coming. But to the church, he's telling us, listen, your sins have already been taken care of. You have Jesus' righteousness, and you're not going to go through a judgment for your sins. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to the church. So sometimes when you get up, you know, something's going on in your life, you made a mistake and something else, and you feel all condemned inside and stuff like that. Listen, rise above it. Okay? Let me say something. And you know this to be true. The Bible says the Spirit of God witnesses to our spirits that we are the children of God. It didn't say the Spirit of God witnesses to us that we're sinners, we're miserable, we're rotten, we're this and we're that. That's the devil. When you hear these voices, that's the devil. He's the accuser, the Bible says. He's the accuser after brethren. So when you do something wrong, when you make a mistake and you stumble along the way and you do something you shouldn't have done or said something you shouldn't have said or got involved in something you shouldn't have been involved in, repent of it. Get back, you know, in the right place again. But don't allow the devil to use that to hammer you over the head. That day is long gone. See, this is what Jesus is talking about. He said, the devil has been defeated back there at Calvary. From that time on, as far as God's concerned, he's condemned. He's got no more right, no more authority whatsoever. All the authority that he's got is what we don't understand. Years ago, I told you this story one time a few years ago. Years ago, we used to, just before we went to ministry, we were working in Toronto. And we were superintendents, assistant superintendents in an apartment building up there. And, you know, like in any business, the customer is always right. Or used to be that way anyway. I don't know, it was like now. But back in those days, you know, the customer is always right. Whatever the customer said, you did whatever you could to make it work, you know. And I can remember we were running around and we used to do the repairs in the apartments and everything else. And I went up to this one apartment one time. There was two ladies in there. And I was just new. They worked with the company for years. I didn't know. I thought they were people going to rent the apartment. And I went in and they said, we need new... whatever it was, you know, the elements on the stove. I said, okay, no problem, I'll get that for you. We need this, we need that. She went on and through a whole list of things, and they used to have a great big, almost like an acid bath that they had done in the workroom downstairs, that you would take stuff down, and you know, the tops of the stove sometimes get all crusted and everything else. You used to put stuff in there and clean all that up. That was their job. That's what they're hired for, cleaning the apartments, getting everything ready, you know, and all these different things. And she said, we can't have that, she said. And I said, no problem, I'll look after that. And I didn't know who, you know, so I took all this stuff down myself, and I was working the whole night trying to get stuff ready. And went back the next day, and one of the other workers, he said, where are you going? I said, I'm taking this stuff up to... He said, that's not your job. I said, well, whose job is it? And he mentioned these two girls, and I didn't know their names at the time. They were just two ladies, like, you know. And I said, well, there's two ladies up there last night. I said, you know, he said, that's the two girls, he said, it's hired on by the company. He said, you're doing their work for them. Now, the point I want to get across to you, the devil's doing the very same thing to us. We don't know the truth. You're in bondage. If you don't know the truth, the Bible says we go into bondage because of lack of truth, lack of understanding. You know, and if you don't understand what's going on, the devil will keep you down all the time, keep you oppressed all the time, keep you depressed all the time, give you an awful hard time in life. When you make a mistake, he'll hammer you over the head and everything else and say, oh, God is angry at you now, God is mad at you, when the truth is completely opposite of that. And see, the devil, if you don't know that the devil's been defeated and he's got no authority to do that anymore, he could do that back under the old covenant, but you can't do it under the new covenant. Because I'm not standing in my righteousness anymore, I'm standing in his righteousness. And what I'm doing is not changing his righteousness. You understand that? So the devil will hammer you and drive you crazy. And this is why the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. The Holy Spirit is not the accuser of the brethren. The devil is. And when you feel condemned all the time and discouraged all the time and frustrated all the time, that God is angry at you and you're afraid to do anything. Some people are afraid to go to church because God might, you know, say something. And you know, I've seen people, and you've seen it as well. When the Holy Spirit starts to move sometimes, people get up and leave the service. They get nervous. Why? Because they believe the lie of the devil, that God is against them. When the opposite is true. The Bible says he sent his son to reconcile the world back to himself, and God has looked after everything, paid the price, bought the ticket, so to speak, and said, listen, come back home. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry. I'm not going to bring up anything. It's already been taken care of. The price has totally been paid. Your sins are removed farther than you will ever find them again. You'll never find them again. They're totally washed away. And the devil says, oh, no, you did something wrong last night. You did something wrong yesterday. You did something wrong 10 years ago. Man, you know, and he'll keep accusing you of that. But the Holy Spirit says, oh, no, listen. The devil is saying that, listen, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've become a child of God. Your sins are forgiven. And see, you have to understand what's going on there. So the work of the Holy Spirit to the world and to the church is two different things. Two different things. To the world, he's convicting you of sin. But to the church, he convicts us of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. To the world, he's convicting the world that there's a judgment coming. To the Christian, he's telling us, no, Jesus already took your judgment. That's the beauty of the gospel. This is what the Word of God says. God gave us not the ministry of condemnation, the Bible says. Yet there's still a lot of preachers go out there and they pound on the pulpit and spit fire sometimes almost, you know, and put you under all kinds of bondage. Now don't misunderstand. Sometimes that preaching is okay for sinners because they're supposed to be convicted of sin. It's not for the church. You understand that? He said he never gave us the ministry of condemnation. The ministry of reconciliation, to let the world know that God is not angry at them anymore. He's reconciled the world to himself in Christ Jesus in Romans 2 Corinthians chapter 5 there. And gave to us the ministry of reconciliation that we go out and he said, we plead with you in Christ's stead. In other words, instead of Jesus doing it, we're doing it on his behalf. Be reconciled to God. The price has already been paid.